You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
And we welcome you in here on the Gym Class program on KGYM for a brand new week at Thanksgiving week Monday. So we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will join me here in just a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass. We are presented by DePaco Community Credit Union each and every day right here on the Gym Class and KGYM. Check them out online at dupaco.com. You can also learn more about DePaco by going to our website at kgymradio.com, where you can hear this program on the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well, or just tune in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. And we thank you for doing that, as well as you can go and listen to our podcasts available Apple, Spotify, and at KGYMradio.com as well. Good show coming up for you. We'll take a look back at the weekend that was in the world of sports, college football, the National Football League, some college basketball. Iowa in action coming up tonight, and we'll talk about all of that on the program here today. Your input is welcome, as always, at 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you, 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well, if you want to get in touch with us, as Ben will await your call. No doubt about that, and looking forward to some good discussion here this week. And looking forward to the final regular season week of the college football season. We hardly knew ye. Where did it go? But here we are, getting into the final regular season week for the most part here in college football. Mark, hope you had a great weekend. Good afternoon to you.
I did. Good afternoon to you. I hope you did as well, and everyone out there. Yeah, it has quickly come to the end of the regular season, and it's a short week for the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Iowa State Cyclones this week, and a short week for us. We're going to pack as much information and already some impactful information regarding that Iowa-Nebraska game.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And in case you have not heard, Scott Frost addressing the media in Lincoln today, the head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, that Adrian Martinez will not be in action on Friday as Iowa and Nebraska go at it at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Sustained an injury in the Wisconsin game, did come back to play in that game, but he will not be a go on Friday, which is too bad. And that's kind of sports are very funny, Mark. When the momentum train gets going, one way or the other, it is very hard to get it to deviate out of that direction. Everything pointing upward for Iowa, everything pointing downward for Nebraska. And if you did not see the article today, Mike Halas had a great column about this upcoming matchup on Friday between Iowa and Nebraska, where Nebraska has the upper hand in practically every offensive category over Iowa, yet Nebraska comes in at 3-8. Iowa comes in at 9-2 into this ballgame coming up on Friday. It is just that's sports. You cannot live on stats alone, and that is a great way to prove that.
No, as Kirk Ferentz said after Saturday's game, we continue to find a way to win. We, meaning the Iowa football team, and Nebraska continues to find ways to lose. And perhaps there was a defensive pass interference penalty in that Wisconsin-Nebraska game at the end.
Oh, there was.
There was, yeah. I was being kind there. But those are the things that have happened in Nebraska this year, and now Adrian Martinez, leading rusher, leading passer for the Cornhuskers, a veteran, is out. Appears freshman Logan Smothers will get the call. He's out of Muscle Shoals, Alabama. How about that? He's played in 5 games this year, completed 7 of 11 passes in mop-up duty, but this will be his first career start. Whether it's a help to Iowa or not remains to be seen. That's a poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team there. The question is, does the loss of Adrian Martinez help or hurt the Hawkeyes this Friday? Two options, helps or hurts?
Yeah. Well, it hurts. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Nebraska going into the contest today, going as you woke up this morning, anywhere from 2.5 to a 3.5-point favorite. And that, a lot of books took it off. Some that kept it on went toward a 1 or an even pick'em game. Despite the fact Iowa in the top 20 as far as the college football playoff poll is concerned, and Nebraska coming in at 3-8, Nebraska was a favorite coming up this Friday before the Adrian Martinez injury. So that kind of tells you what... And these are the same folks that thought Utah was a favorite over Oregon as well, which played out very well. We'll talk about that, Mark, coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, indeed. Text line 319-366-1600, 8699 commenting. I cannot decide if missing Martinez is good or bad for Iowa. He's one of their best and worst players.
He has had trouble against the Hawks. No doubt about that. He has had trouble against the Hawkeyes. Who is going to punt now, according to another text that we receive? The good old-fashioned going back and forth barbs between a lot of Iowa folks and the Nebraska folks this week. Although there aren't a lot of Big Red fans over here, but there are. I know two of them very, very well. Hey, they will never deviate against rooting for the Big Red. I cannot say that I blame them for not doing that. I think it's very admirable out there. But Martinez not playing is going to be a detriment to this Nebraska team. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And if you watch Nebraska and Wisconsin on Saturday, Wisconsin had trouble with Nebraska. Nebraska put points up against Wisconsin, which is something that Iowa did not do against the Badgers. And again, kind of a little bit shoddy clock management down the stretch, if you will. You mentioned the fact that Wisconsin got a pretty big break as far as a non-DPI call against the Badgers right at the goal line. Who knows if Nebraska would have scored? It would have been, first and goal at the 3-yard line, something like that. And the way Nebraska is going this year, probably something would have happened. They would have fumbled the snap or would have went over Martinez's head. Who knows how it all plays out. But this team moved the ball against Wisconsin in Madison. And they, even with the backup quarterback, I think they're going to be a challenge for the Hawkeyes coming up on Friday. But if you're an Iowa fan, I think you'd like your chances a whole lot better without the starting quarterback back there.
Yeah, I don't know hardly anything about Logan Smothers, who's apparently going to get the start this week. But I do know that this Nebraska team, like them or hate them, they played everybody tough. They played Ohio State off its feet until the Buckeyes got a late score and made that a 9-point game. But otherwise, I think 6 or 7 games, Nebraska has lost by 1 score or fewer, including Oklahoma, including Michigan State, including Michigan, including Minnesota. Mentioned Ohio State was a 9-point game, and you throw in last week's Wisconsin game. In addition to Purdue, every single game has been a 1-score game. And Martinez has had a lot to do with that. He's so elusive, so experienced. To the texter's point, yeah, he can get a little loose with the football, but he can make plays as well. And we'll see. I don't know that Smothers is as mobile as Martinez. I'd be surprised. First career start, that's always a little shaky, as Alex Padilla can tell you that. So definitely adds another dimension to this game.
3:14 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM as we talk, look ahead to Iowa, Nebraska. We're going to look back at Iowa and Illinois, look back at Iowa State and Oklahoma as well. You and I into the FCS playoffs. That's the good news. The bad news is you get a real tough opponent right out of the chute in Eastern Washington coming up on Saturday out in Cheney, Washington. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Nebraska has given most everyone they've played, including Ohio State, rough games. This is a scary team. I think everybody is in agreement as far as that is concerned. 319-366-1600. That is the phone line. Text line available to you as well. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Let's look back at Saturday, Mark. Iowa and Illinois, more points put on the board than most people thought there would be in Iowa City on Saturday on a very nice afternoon for a senior day at Kinnick Stadium and for college football. And tell you what, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I go back and look at it, Charlie Jones' return may be, as you look back, the biggest play of this Iowa football season.
Certainly impactful in this game, and I think you could be quite right about this. And I don't want to tell you how long I've been watching and covering Iowa football, but this is the strangest team that I have seen. I mean, it's a perfect example that there are three phases to the game. Special teams was wonderful Saturday. The defense was terrific after that first drive. The offense was better, but not dynamic. So maybe you had, what, 2.5 phases of a football team clicking. I thought it was the offense scored one touchdown. And I think Iowa needs to execute better when it has its chances in the red zone. Certainly blew an opportunity at the start of the third quarter when it got possession at the Illinois 17 after 30 yards and penalties. Mm-hmm. You don't see that very often, but that's what happened to Illinois. And Iowa had had to settle for a shootout field goal to go back up by 7. But I don't know that this one was ever in doubt. Because of this Iowa defense, the linebacker crew of Seth Benson and Jack Campbell has been terrific all season. And they were again. The offensive line played much, much better. Iowa rushed the ball 49 times and gained 236 yards, 172 net after you take out the losses, the sacks and whatnot. What was up with the jet sweeps?
Brian Ferentz is
jet sweeps in that game that I've seen in the season.
Brian Ferentz is not a liar. He said he's got to get back to the jet sweeps. And I tell you what, it was a contest between, the old Ken O'Keefe middle screens and the tunnel screens and jet sweeps on Saturday for what we fell in love with more as far as Hawkeye football is concerned. But, yeah, after the 8th one, you kind of got a sense it might be coming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Alex Padilla did not have, as far as yardage is concerned, a real strong game, but he had a lot of drops in that game once again, and that has plagued Alex Padilla a little bit. It's plagued Iowa's receivers a little bit as well, and the stats would have looked a little bit better if Iowa caught all those passes. But, you know, that's part of football. But the Iowa running game was very, very good and was a strong point. And if Iowa runs the ball like that, more often than not, the Hawkeyes are going to have success. They had to settle for field goals a lot in that game on Saturday. And you'd rather see the offense put it into the end zone. But at least Iowa got points on the board and put pressure as far as Illinois is concerned, put the pressure on the Illini out there. And hey, I want to give a shout-out to Quinn Schulte, the former walk-on out of Cedar Rapids Xavier, preferred walk-on out of Cedar Rapids Xavier, stepped in for Kerner at one of the safety spots on Saturday. I thought played a really, really good game, smart game, intelligent game, And I thought he was just terrific stepping in there. Hopefully he'll get a chance to get in there and be a two-year starter. I hope anyway. I say that a little bit as a fan of his and the family. But he did a fantastic job on Saturday.
Well, he made a huge play in the fourth quarter with Illinois on the Iowa side of the field and decided to go for it, fourth and three. And it appeared to be a catch, but Schulte at the last minute knocked the ball out of the receiver's hands, gave it to Iowa. Shudak went on to kick a 30-yard field goal, and then Jack Campbell later on sealed things before a late Illinois touchdown. So I thought Quinn Schulte gave a really good account of himself.
Yeah. 17-75 on the text line. Iowa will lose Friday, but will hurt worse is Wisconsin getting upset on Saturday.
Mm.
The scenario is very simple for Iowa. Beat Nebraska on Friday. Minnesota beats Wisconsin on Saturday. Iowa is the representative as far as the Big Ten is concerned out of the West in the Big Ten Championship game the following Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Certainly a possibility. No doubt about that. Wisconsin-Minnesota, I think, is going to be a tough one. A very, very hotly contested ball game. And, of course, the winner of the East is pretty much cut and dry. It'll be Ohio State or Michigan coming up. And right now they're 4-6 in the polls. And that might change a little bit after Ohio State's just stunningly amazing performance behind C.J. Stroud, as they just absolutely took apart Sparty on Saturday. Be careful what you wish for as far as 9-year contract extensions and whatnot, right?
Well, it hasn't been good at Michigan State. C.J. Stroud with nearly 400 yards passing and 6 touchdowns in the first half. That ended up to be a 56-7 victory for Ohio State. Probably could have been worse. But now you're looking, Scott, at maybe a freshman winning the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, yeah. You could have the two front runners are redshirt freshmen. I believe Bryce Young out of Alabama is a redshirt freshman. And, yeah, things have certainly changed as far as the Heisman is concerned. And odds are we're going to have one of those two win it, depending on how it all plays out right there. 366-1600, I should say, is 2662 on the text line. Who wins in a three-way tie between Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin? Can you have a three-way tie in this scenario? We got Iowa with a lot. They're all twos. I don't know. I'd have to look or find out. Easiest scenario is this: if you're an Iowa fan, Iowa wins, Minnesota wins, boom, you go to Indianapolis, of where 81-86 says he still has his tickets to the Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis.
Well, if Iowa and Wisconsin both lose, I mean, Purdue could figure in there as well. Purdue and Minnesota, both 5-3, you theoretically could have a four-way tie.
Yes, you could.
And I haven't looked into that, and I don't want to at this point, but it's a good question.
I'm going to, let's see, Minnesota, 3-3. Yeah, you're going to have a four-way tie, and then good luck with that. Between Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota could all be 6-3 after the games on Saturday. Of course, Iowa.
Well, I would not favor Iowa, a four-way tie, because Iowa would be 1-2 against the other three.
Correct. That is correct. And, you know, it basically comes down, we'll know a lot more on Friday night, no doubt about that, after the Iowa-Nebraska game. And Wisconsin and Minnesota will know exactly how they stand as far as this thing is concerned as well. So, interesting stuff right there. Is that good or bad as far as the West is concerned? We'll see.
Well, it's definitely an interesting chase, and as wild as the college football season has been, you know, a four-way tie would probably fit into the script, wouldn't it? But I don't expect it to. Wisconsin wins, it's in, and we've outlined what is in store for Iowa.
Yeah. 319-366-1600-6429. Does anyone really want to win the West? Is it worth the beating they will get if Ohio State handles their business this week and next? Well, this week. Next week would be the championship game in Indianapolis. Could be. I as good as Michigan has been playing this year, and Harbaugh is going to be under all kinds of scrutiny, especially if Ohio State just trounces Michigan once again. But Harbaugh has done a terrific job. 10-2, Harbaugh keeps his job. I don't think there's any doubt about that, even if he loses again to Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State right now is playing at such an extreme level that I just don't see anybody in this Big Ten Conference coming close to them.
There'll be folks in Michigan that will howl, though, because Harbaugh will have lost another game against Ohio State and lost a game against Michigan State. Those are two games you got to have if you're the Michigan coach.
True. Ask John Cooper.
Yeah.
Ask John Cooper about how that plays out. All right, on the 27-12 says the Big Ten Network says Minnesota wins a multiple tiebreaker. Maybe it's like the old Rose Bowl that farthest removed from being in the game goes. I don't know. I haven't done enough research as far as it is concerned. But I guess I probably should have. 319-366-1600, 326, talking Iowa and Illinois, looking ahead to Iowa and Nebraska. We're going to talk about Iowa State's game against Oklahoma last Saturday. And they also will take part in a Black Friday game coming up this week. Iowa State will take on TCU. Huge game for the Horned Frogs and their interim coach, Jerry Kill. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. College football playoff poll will come out tomorrow night. Second, this is the penultimate college football poll, Mark, I believe. And this one should be very interesting on two accounts. Number one, will Cincinnati get into the top four? They've been number five, with Oregon getting absolutely rock and rolled on Saturday night in Salt Lake City by Utah. We know that Cincinnati is in line to move up. I see no reason why the Bearcats would not move up. Took care of a really good SMU team on Saturday. The other thing to take a look at, and it's probably not as big of a deal, is what's going to happen with Alabama and Ohio State. They've been 2-3 with Alabama 2. Do they flip-flop now? Now they still would play one another. They would just wear different colored uniforms in the game. But, again, is it a beauty contest? Alabama played a really good Arkansas team. Alabama defense wasn't great, hasn't been great this year. It's young. It's had some injuries to some key personnel and key veteran personnel, having to play a lot of freshmen in there for Coach Saban. Arkansas played a very good game, and Arkansas's got talent, no doubt about it. Held off, got the win, but Ohio State put up the beauty points in the win over Michigan State. They flip-flopped in the AP poll with the writers. What's going to happen as far as the committee is concerned?
Well, another player is Notre Dame. And, you know, Notre Dame lost to Cincinnati, so I don't think you can put Notre Dame over Cincinnati, despite the fact the Bearcats have one of the worst strength of schedules in the country, in the 90s, I believe. But I really, when you meet head-to-head, I don't think that you can put Notre Dame, regardless of whether you think Notre Dame's a better football team or not, I don't think you can put Notre Dame over, you know, an undefeated Cincinnati team. Granted, that game came early in the season. It was the fifth game of the season. 24-13 win for Cincinnati there. But Notre Dame does have to go to Stanford on the weekend.
Stanford's terrible.
Yeah, Stanford's terrible. So there is that to look at as well.
Thank you, 9318. They have sent us the Big Ten scenarios for the ties. And the only scenario Iowa can get to the championship game is if the Hawkeyes beat Nebraska and Minnesota beats Wisconsin. Every other scenario has Wisconsin or Minnesota getting into the Big Ten championship game. So,
yeah, if it's a four-way tie, Minnesota would be 2-1 against the other three. It would have beaten Wisconsin. It beat Purdue and lost to Iowa. We mentioned that Iowa is 1-2 against the other three. So I don't expect that scenario to play out, although it could. I mean, Purdue has Indiana. Conceivable that Iowa and Wisconsin could both lose. So it's worth considering. I'm going to save that piece of information.
Save that piece of information right there. 0905 says, I don't hate Ohio State nearly as much as I have in the past. I think Ryan Day is a good coach, great coach, and he doesn't have the baggage that the last two coaches have had. He seems to do it right. As of now, anyway, for the Ohio State. By the way, when did it come the Ohio State? Have you noticed that? Instead of, it used to be the Ohio State University, and now everyone is in the NFL, when they're being introduced, is saying the Ohio State. University has somehow dropped off of that. Just observations that I make throughout a weekend.
Kids say the darndest things, right?
Yeah. 319-366-1600 as we come your way starting off the Thanksgiving week. And, yes, we'll be on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, by the way, this week, and off on Thursday and Friday. And happy Thanksgiving week to everybody out there. One of my favorite weeks of the year because you've got, of course, football. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to be great football, but we've got football on Thursday for you, especially that first game. Sorry, Mark. No offense out there with the Bears and the Lions. But then after that, you've got a Raider team that has been not good over the last month. And Derek Carr had a little bit of a – he had a little meltdown in front of the media yesterday after the game. And they will take on the Cowboys, and then a decent Sunday night game, no doubt about that. But then you've got college basketball this week as well. We'll kick that around a little bit. Iowa in action tonight at home at Carver against Western Michigan. That is a 7:30 start on the Big Ten Network coming up. Iowa State men stayed unbeaten with a win yesterday over Grambling. The Iowa State women, a big win over Southern. Earlier today in women's basketball, if you did not see, number one beat number two as South Carolina took down UConn today to remain number one in the country. Congratulations to, let's see, one of the, oh gosh, Keegan Murray. I'm sorry. Boy, that escaped me. Keegan Murray. Co-Big Ten Player of the Week as far as Iowa men's basketball is concerned. Great stat line. Shared that with Travion Williams of Purdue. By the way, Purdue carrying the banner of the Big Ten Conference in men's basketball right now after Michigan. If you missed it last night, Michigan got shellacked by Arizona in the finals of the tournament out in Las Vegas. This week with all the basketball tournaments, it's fantastic. You got Maui getting underway today, about a handful of other big tournaments going on. This is a fun week if you're a college hoops fan.
Certainly is, and Iowa is in action tonight against a very mediocre Western Michigan team at Carver Hawkeye Arena, 7:30 tip or thereabouts tonight.
You can say it. It's a bad team. Bad. Picked last in the MAC, and deservedly so. But still, it'll be a non-conference game at home tonight. Ashley Jones, by the way, the former City High star, was named the Big 12 Women's Basketball Player of the Week. Averaged over 21 points, over 7 rebounds for Iowa State in their wins, including a 96-55 win over Southern yesterday. And little sister Aubrey with a season and a career high yesterday as well in the Iowa State win. So that was great to see her. 21 points for Aubrey yesterday.
And transition to seasons, and you are done with your football season, but back at basketball tomorrow night, right?
Correct. First basketball game tomorrow night on CRM Live Sports. Xavier and Davenport Assumption, both rated about 720 tomorrow night on CRM Live Sports on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. So looking forward to that. And then we've got Rivalry Saturday coming up with a whole bunch of games on Saturday over at Kirkwood. That is going to be a lot of fun. Some great talent and great teams as far as girls basketball over at Johnson Hall on Saturday. And we'll talk more about that as we get into it here this week. We'll take a break. Before that, we need to get to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast at Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's, and includes our winner of the Emil's Hideaway pick six from Friday.
Yeah, since you've already read three-fourths of my scoreboard, we'll get to the last item, and
Sorry.
That is the winner of the Emil's Hideaway pick six for this week. Not surprisingly, Dave Alec prevails again. He was 4-2 along with Scott. Dave wins on a tiebreaker. I was 3-3. Most importantly, that means George in Iowa City is a winner of a $25 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. Congratulations, George. And make a note of it. We're going to do our picks this week on Wednesday.
Yeah, looking forward to that coming up on Wednesday. Yeah, it's we all had a pretty good week. You could have, you were fine. You were 3-3.
Well, it came down to that Utah Oregon game, and I don't know. I picked Oregon. I also picked Michigan State. So I deserve what I get, you know. Both lopsided victories in the other way. But, yeah, paying the juice.
96-63 before we go to break. I would not want to play Notre Dame right now. They just found a new running back. Watched them the last 2 weeks. They are really good. Notre Dame is playing very well. Now Georgia Tech's awful. Stanford's awful. So we'll see. Can Notre Dame? I put Cincinnati at the four, though. If I was on the committee, I'm putting Cincinnati in the top four. I think they've checked all the boxes this year. Give them an opportunity. So there you go. Just my 2 cents worth. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll take a look at Iowa State. Another close loss for the Cyclones in Norman. And more when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class for a Monday on KGY.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have a mix of sun and clouds at times today. Temperatures are going to stay chilly, though, just a high in the low to mid-30s this afternoon. Later on tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies. Temperatures will be dipping down to a low around 20. Then tomorrow, we are going to have mostly sunny skies. Winds will pick up out of the south. That'll drive temperatures into the 40s, and we'll end up in the 50s on Wednesday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you to Showtime with the lock of the year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on either New York or Tampa Bay. If either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code HANSON200, H-A-N-S-O-N 200, when you make your first bet. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options and boosted odds specials at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSON200, Hanson with an O, to win $200 in free bets if either New York or Tampa Bay scores a touchdown. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Iowa only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Mike here with Brown Shoe Fit Company in Marion. What kind of shoes are you looking for? Running? Walking? Every day? At Brown Shoe Fit, we have them from top brands like Brooks, New Balance, Hoka, and ASICS. Sizes up to 15 in regular and those hard-to-find extra-wide widths. Our team will help get you into the right shoes with the right fit. come find the pair you're looking for at Brown Shoe Fit on Twixtown Road in Collins Square. Honestly, it's like having your own place.
You hear the name Alexander Lumber and you think, well, lumber. But Alexander Lumber offers lots of other things too. Their design services can help you bring together any space. They offer free estimates on any size project too, from a single garage to a custom home. And Alexander Lumber carries a broad range of windows, doors, and cabinets to bring your full vision to life. If you don't see what you're looking for, just ask. Your next project starts at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander in Iowa City.
Would you rather pay for software just once or every month forever? Then make sure your business is ready for the next Microsoft licensing change, or you could be switched to a monthly charge and there'll be no going back. Network Computer Solutions can get you upgraded on time so you can beat those monthly fees. But contact them right away to get on their schedule. Go to ncsei.com. Friendly local Network Computer Solutions.
3:40, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, been with you and taking you through the 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by DUPACO Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. The final regular season meeting with Kirk Ferentz coming up tomorrow, and it is Coaches Cuts on Tuesdays during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And Coaches Cuts brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. That is ncsei.com. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. It's also our phone line. And patiently waiting through the break, we thank Wally for joining us here today. Wally, good Monday to you.
Oh, thank you. You too, guys. I just got off the phone with my dad before I called. He said I was a 3.5-point underdog, and got the kid's name slipped from me. Is it Rodriguez, number 2 for Nebraska, the quarterback?
Martinez is out. Play. Yep, is out.
Martinez, I'm sorry. Thank you. Is that true?
He is out. Yep, he is not going to play.
Wow. You know, I'm just going to spit it out. I think Kurt or Brian Ferentz, along with anybody else that helps him coach the offense, should be watching the pro games on Sunday and look at some of the plays that we haven't seen before in the time we've been watching NFL football. That double pitch out for a touchdown to the tight end who wasn't for it, was that in the Packer game? Anyway, there was quite a few. Or a goodly amount of plays that I've never seen before. And we have a problem running outside, except for, it seems like, on reverse. Why is not, God, I can't think of his name. You know, I know the numbers. Number 3 not playing as much as he was. And then running that reverse. And if we get first and goal on the 2-yard line, bring Peaches in, letting quarterback sneak it or give it to the fullback. I couldn't believe that what we did, but I know that game's gone away. We won it, but don't do the same thing if it happens in Nebraska. You guys, I don't have a radio that comes in, so can you, if you're going to comment on anything I said, can you have me on the line and
sure.
Then hang me up when you're done?
All right. You bet. Thanks, Wally. Appreciate that. And, thanks for the comments, and I guarantee you Brian Ferentz watches NFL football on Sunday. Now, he's probably watching the New England Patriots, and they didn't play Sunday, so who knows if he was watching it or not. And I'll say this, and Mark, you can echo this or come up with your own thoughts about it, but we're seeing more and more of the college game infiltrating the pro game right now. And a lot of the – look at Jalen Hurts yesterday. You have never have seen that in the pro game 10 years ago, what Jalen Hurts did yesterday. You're starting to see the mobile quarterbacks like that. And, yeah, college coaches take some plays from pros and vice versa. No doubt about that. And I don't think there's any doubt that Brian Ferentz watches that and any other members of the Hawkeye team. And as far as Tyrone Tracy is concerned, did get some playing time, is not getting probably the targets that he would like, and he's certainly said something about that. But Keegan Johnson and Arlen Bruce played a good amount in that game on Saturday and have been playing.
Well, I would say this about Iowa. We commented about the jet sweeps and prolific number of those that were called in the game. Brian Ferentz did call a wide receiver pass. Wasn't that Reganey trying to get one to Padilla? I mean, then that's out of the norm. But as we've come to know, Iowa's not going to win football games on Andy Reid-type plays. Plus, there's no Tyreek Hills on the Iowa roster. So I get what I get the comments, but kind of comparing apples to oranges there in my mind.
Yeah. Thanks, Wally. 319-366-1600 here at 345. Coming up tomorrow, Kevin Lehman, the coach, is going to join us. We'll talk college hoops with Off the Glass. It's usually on Thursday. We're going to move it to Tuesday this week with the shortened week, and we'll hear and comment about Kirk Ferentz and his thoughts going into the Nebraska game coming up on Friday in Lincoln. As everything goes, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Mark, how strange things happen and momentum takes teams as far as all sports, but I think especially as far as the game of football is concerned. Seems like everything Iowa touches turns to gold. It seems like everything in Ames does not turn to gold and kind of goes the other way. And that happened once again on Saturday. Great effort by the Iowa State Cyclones. Went for it on fourth down 7 times, ran a great fake punt, but just Oklahoma held on, and Iowa State now officially out of it as far as things are concerned for the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, the best Iowa State can do is a fourth place finish. And the Big 12, not exactly what Cyclone fans signed up for this season, right? The best it can do is 7-5 if it beats TCU, a TCU team that did beat Baylor earlier in this year. Granted, it was at home. But Iowa State's going to have to be focused this week. As far as that Oklahoma game, Will McDonald and Orion Vance did not play, I don't think, in that game. Two key defenders for the Cyclones. Charlie Kolar had a career game in his hometown. He was terrific, but it just wasn't quite enough. And Breece Hall couldn't get off the schneid, only 58 yards rushing, and Iowa State had a hard time stopping Kennedy Brooks and others.
Couldn't stop the run. That was one of the main things. Did a pretty good job against Caleb Williams, but just could not stop the run. And Oklahoma helped out quite a bit at the end with some prevent defense. But at any rate, Iowa State, a very, very tough one to lose. Hey, Matt Campbell played that one, absolutely brilliantly, I thought. And like I said, went for it 7 times on fourth down and converted most of those. And Iowa State gave Oklahoma everything they wanted as far as that game is concerned. And now a 6-5 Iowa State team will host 5-6 TCU on Friday. TCU with a chance to go bowling if they can get that 6th win. And, of course, Gary Patterson was let go mid-season. Jerry Kill in there right now as the interim coach for the Horned Frogs. Be interesting to see. I think there's enough pride in this Iowa State program, Mark. They're going to come out and want to. There's going to be a ton of talented players coming out and playing for the last time at Jack Trice Stadium on Friday. And because they all came back for this year and it did not go according to plan. We all know that by now. But I think there's just too much pride in this program to kind of pack it in for the season before that game on Friday.
I do, too. I really agree with that. I think Iowa State's going to be highly motivated to put a knot on TCU's head. And really, when it comes to right down to it, the Cyclones have had a little bit of the Nebraska malady. It has lost 4 one-score games, and that 10-point loss to Iowa earlier in the season. It's been in every single game, but some seasons things don't go your way. And that's the case with Iowa State this year.
And it just continued to not go their way on Saturday. Good job by Hunter Deckers, except for one pass. He came in relief of Brock Purdy, who was just beat up by Oklahoma on Saturday. Deckers came in, and like I said, other than one pass, although I thought Oklahoma didn't put as much pressure on him as they did on Brock Purdy, but I guess that is for a call for the Oklahoma defensive coaches as far as things are concerned. Coming up on 350, got a couple of notes here as far as football is concerned before we leave that. Graham Fredrickson, who is a wide receiver at Urbandale, has just announced on Twitter that he is going to continue his career at Iowa. He is a 6'2", 185-pound, two-time All-District wide receiver for Urbandale. I think that is probably as a preferred walk-on situation right there, Mark. Good player, but probably one that is a preferred walk-on. And speaking of that, Luke Gaffney, the terrific lineman for Linmar, 6'2", 250-pounder, also made his commitment last night to play for the Hawkeyes, and I think that is also as a preferred walk-on role right there. So two Iowans casting their lot to play for Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, good for those kids. And I was just thinking to myself, I'm going to be a little mean here, but you read all these tweets about these kids that they're blessed to receive an offer from XYZ school. Just once I wanted to hear one of them say, I was absolutely shocked to receive an offer from XYZ, but I'm going to think about it.
I think that's about the same way as, yeah, we wish the coach or this player, blank, blank, the best in his future endeavors. You're not going to see it.
That's mean on my part, and those kids work really hard for scholarships and offers and whatnot, but I'm just... It's the same thing, fill in the blank on all these tweets.
Yeah. A couple of very interesting texts here. 0945 saying the Purdy still has a tendency to get loose with the ball. That touchdown ahead of halftime was a killer as far as Iowa State is concerned. 7001, is there a correlation between the jet sweeps that were run and the running game up the middle opening up? Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And 9121, did not think about this, but this is a very valid point. How many Iowa State players will sit out their bowl game due to it being a lower-tier bowl? Is that a possibility? I mean, it's a possibility. I don't know if I see it, but then again, you can see it in 2021, 2022, can't you?
You can. There may be a couple. There may be none. I don't know. But you think about the fact that Charlie Kolar, the tight end, and Mike Rose, the linebacker, both have accepted invitations to the Senior Bowl in February. Presumably they want to play in that game. And I get it. That's an NFL showcase. But one last opportunity to play with your friends. And for Iowa State, I wouldn't bypass it. I know that.
If you came back to play in this final year instead of going pro, if you're all those seniors for Iowa State, I think you play the bowl game no matter where it's at. But, hey, never say never in 2021, 2022. That's the motto I have learned. We'll take a quick break, come back, wrap things up here, talk a little UNI, talk a little basketball with you on the gym class for this Monday. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Stick with us. More to come after this.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book, right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Getting the most for your money can help you relax. With power checking from Midwest One Bank, you may earn higher interest and ATM fee refunds by simply receiving electronic statements, making at least 15 debit card purchases that post and clear, and making at least one direct deposit, automatic debit from a third party, or bill pay transaction post and clear each qualification cycle. See MidwestOne.bank for details. Enjoy simply better banking from Midwest One Bank. Member FDIC.
Back with you in the gym class to wrap things up here on the Monday edition of the show. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn coming your way next. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Cyclone Sideline Show tonight at 6:30 on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM here in Cedar Rapids. We got Monday Night Football, the Giants and Tampa at 6:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. 86.99. I would hope some of those players for ISU would want one more game of tape for the pro scouts. Not all of them are guaranteed draft spots or just try and improve your draft position. I think they will play. I think that is the case since they all came back. Just my thought about that. UNI is going to the playoffs. It will be a tough road to hoe. 6 of the 24, Mark, in the FCS playoffs are from the Missouri Valley Football Conference. The MVC set a brand new record by having 6 teams selected yesterday.
Yeah, unlike Missouri Valley Basketball Conference, right? When there's often only one bid, this is a very strong basketball league, but also a very strong football league. And UNI is going to give a good account of itself. I got to believe it's, They've gone to Eastern Washington before and won. Should it win, has to play Montana, I believe.
Yep.
It's a tough road, but at least you got an opportunity. And that's really what I like about every playoff aside from FBS. 24 teams in FCS.
True.
About the same, is it 32 maybe in Division III? I don't know.
Yes, it is.
It gives everybody an opportunity, and that's all you can ask.
Iowa in action in basketball tonight as the Hawkeyes will entertain Western Michigan at 7:30 on the BTN on the Big Ten Network. By the way, the Maui Invitational getting started today. Wisconsin, told you you want to play them early. They're young, except for Mr. Davison. They beat Texas A&M today, 69-58 in the first round of the Maui Invitational, being played at Maui, Vegas this year due to the pandemic. They are playing at Mandalay Bay at the arena down there. So good win for the Badgers. Johnny Davis is going to be really good. Freshman point guard. You want to play Wisconsin early? Iowa does. Only play the Badgers once, and that's in early January. And I think that's probably a good thing because Wisconsin's going to get a whole lot better. The new basketball poll came out. Michigan fell all the way to number 20 this week. So we'll talk about Iowa's game tonight with Kevin Lehman coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about his week with the Paradise Jam and a whole lot more coming up on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Mark, you have a great night, and we will once again congregate tomorrow at 3.
I certainly will, Scott, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Hope you enjoyed it. Podcast will be available shortly after we wrap things up. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a speed bump. Did you hear what I said? I'm a speed bump. And if you have cut-rate car insurance, the cost to reattach your muffler could really be a bump in the road. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better.